Our scripture reading tonight is taken from Isaiah 43, verses 1 to 7. Isaiah 43. But now thus says the Lord, who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar, and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. So far the reading of God's word. Let's also turn to Lord's Day 9, found on page 16 in the blue hymnal. I will read the question and let's together read the answer. What do you believe when you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who out of nothing created heaven and earth and everything in them, who still upholds and rules them by his eternal counsel and providence, is my God and Father because of Christ his Son. I trust him so much that I do not doubt. He will provide whatever I need for body and soul, and he will turn to my good whatever adversity he sends me in this sad world. He is able to do this because he is Almighty God. He desires to do this because he is a faithful Father. Lord's Day 9, the Heidelberger, deals with the first article of the Apostles' Creed, the confession concerning God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. We are concerned here especially with the fatherhood of God. We must be careful not to speak about the Heavenly Father in an abstract manner, but in a very concrete and vivid manner. A father is a very special person, especially in the life of his children. When we speak here about God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, we speak especially about his father in his relationship with his children. I summarize it as follows. The confession concerning the unique bond between God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and his chosen children. I'll repeat this. The confession concerning the unique bond between God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and his chosen children. And we'll see 3 points. He made us for himself. He brought us to himself, and he keeps us with himself. You can notice that this Lord's Day does not in the first place speak about the Father above and the children on earth. We come into this picture only much later, as the Catechism says of God that He is for the sake of Christ, His Son, my God and my Father. The Catechism actually first deals with two other important aspects, namely, that God is the eternal Father of Jesus Christ, and that He is Father of all creation. It is important that we know these aspects carefully, for it puts us in our proper place. God the Father is first of all the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is so from eternity. This is a special relationship and bond which precedes all others and comes before all others. God did not become a Father through us, for He is Father from eternity. The Son eternally proceeds from the Father, and that is His perfect, satisfying relationship. God did not need us in order to be a real Father, as is sometimes suggested by modern theologians. No, for He is the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. This must always be said first. Secondly, it is also true that in a sense God is Father of all creations. The word Father is then taken in the sense of origin or originator, the one out of whom all things come forth. As the creator of heaven and earth, God the Father brought forth all things and retains responsibility over them. For this reason, He still upholds and governs them by His eternal counsel and providence, as the Catechism says. We should not see God the Father as being concerned only with us, for He has created a world with many creatures, and He upholds and governs them in love. He seeks to restore it and renew it through Jesus Christ. Do not think that God is only involved with the church, for He is also deeply concerned with the world. To bring it to complete perfection, this too is a fatherly work of the Lord our God. So there is that primary relationship with Christ. There is also that broader bond with the heavens and the earth which the Father maintains. When we have seen these relationships, and when we stand in awe of them, we may say, He is also my God and my Father. This eternal Father of Christ, this Father of all that exists, is my God and my Father. For this is ultimately the scope of this Lord's Day. It wants to show the bond between the Heavenly Father and His earthly children, between Him and us. Now, our earthly fathers have only a limited part in our origin. They are used as instruments, but they cannot themselves bring forth life. Nor can our earthly fathers guarantee our life. But the Heavenly Father has a total part in our life. He made us completely. He gave us the life that we have, and He nurtures that life from the moment that it is conceived. We sang of that great and wondrous work of God in 289, which shows Psalm 139, when we sang, "Before into being I was brought, thine eyes did see, and in thy thought my life in all its perfect plan was ordered before my days began." The Heavenly Father shows infinite care and deep love in making each of His children. We should always remember that also the unborn children in the womb are enfolded by the love and care of the Father. Many natural, earthly fathers entertain visions of what their child shall be and shall do in life. We usually plan great futures for our children. Whether they come true or not is a different matter. But of the Heavenly Father, it can be said that He determines and plans our life with sovereign wisdom and power. The number of our days are recorded in His book, as Psalm 139 also says. The question must be asked, what does the Heavenly Father want from us? Why did He make us? Answer to that important question is found, for example, in the passage we read from Isaiah 43. The prophet Isaiah is speaking there of the return of the exiles, the remnant of Israel. Listen to what he says about the motivation of that return. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth, everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. The Heavenly Father is calling His children home, His sons and daughters, all who bear His name, in His covenant. Then we read, whom I created for my glory. There you have it. The Father made us for His glory. He made us for Himself. He made us so that He could take pleasure in us, rejoice in us, be served and loved by us. He made us so that He indeed would be recognized all the more as a faithful and loving Father. He made us for Himself. This truth is the key to understanding of our creation and purpose. I exist only for God, to glorify Him and to do all that He wills. This is my raison d'être, our reason for being. And in that life for God, the Lord gives His children abundant blessings and great freedom. As long as this really is a life for God, for He made us for Himself, for His glory. For the Heavenly Father, this is a matter of great principle and strong pride. The Lord our God is a jealous God, and He will not allow His children to serve idols and false gods. Therefore, the Heavenly Father was so deeply grieved and offended when the children rebelled against Him, strayed away from Him, and became slaves of a master who had not made them and who did not love them, namely the devil. The devil is also a father, but he does not bring forth children. Instead, he destroys them. The devil is the father of lies and deceit. All he can bring forth is corruption and evil. Thus, he is a father who is in reality a tyrant, a destroyer of the children God made for Himself. But God is so deeply and essentially a father that He would not let His children go. And when they fell away, He brought them to Himself. We come now to the second element. He brought us to Himself. For this Heavenly Father was, and once said, they faced with a situation that His children had rebelled against Him and had become slaves of sin. From children, they had been reduced to slaves, sold under sin. It is a hard thing for a father to witness the terrible demise of his children. But the Heavenly Father did not accept this situation. In His sovereign counsel and wisdom, He purposed to bring us back to Himself as His exclusive children. It became a great work of the Father to bring back the children, to gather the sons and daughters from wherever they are enslaved and restore them in the house of the Father. We see something of this work in Exodus 19. There, after the miraculous escape from the land of Egypt, the house of bondage, the Lord meets Moses and the people of Israel at Mount Sinai. The Lord says to Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. I bore you on eagle's wings. The Lord refers here to the practice of eagles who take up their young on their wings. When the young eagle falls out of the nest high on the rocky cliff, the parent eagle swoops down, catches the baby eagle on his wide wings, and lifts it up again to safety. Otherwise, the little bird would have been dashed to pieces. It is a beautiful way of speaking, for in this same way, the Lord also takes upon his fallen and falling people and carries them home. Were it not for the loving and powerful intervention of the Father, the children would all have perished. I brought you to myself, says the Lord. What more intimate words can a father use? He does not just say, I brought you to my house, but he says, I brought you to myself. The people that he made for himself, he brought back to himself, so that they might live with him in intimate, covenantal communion. A father is his children in one house. Of course, we understand that this is Old Testament language. The Catechism puts it in a new light. He is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father. For did not the Father bring us to himself in the Son, Jesus Christ? Did he not deliver us from the bondage of Satan and the slavery of sin, far worse than that of Egypt, by the work, the sacrifice of his only begotten, his beloved Son? The way to the Father and to the Father's house lies in the Son. He came to bear in our flesh the penalty for sin. He came to fulfill in our place all the righteousness of the divine law. He took upon himself our flesh and blood, became our brother, so that we might again be God's children. God brought us to himself in Christ, for he is God the Father Almighty. We did not come unto him. He brought us, as we have in him our creation, our origin, so we have in him also our redemption, our salvation. It came to us in the perfect care of the Father. He brought us to himself. It sounds so simple, as if it was so easy, but it was a tremendous and unparalleled work, and it had a price that no man could pay except Jesus Christ. The Father brought us to himself by the blood of his own Son, who paid the highest price that ever can be paid. This is why the matter is so serious. It's serious for the Father who keeps us with himself, and it's serious for us who must stay with the Father. And then finally, we get to the third point. He keeps us with himself. We must now complete the picture of Lord's Night. He came to the Father, who made us for himself, and who brought us to himself in Christ, his Son, and now keeps us with himself. Now we may believe that nothing or no one shall ever separate us from the love of this God in Jesus Christ. The Father went through all this work to bring us back as his children and heirs through Christ. Will he then let us again become slaves of the devil? Of course not. And therefore, we can confess that his Father will provide me with all things necessary for body and soul. All the spiritual and material needs which the children may have are taken care of by this Father. There is no need which he is not able or willing to meet. He who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, will he not also give us all things with him? And the catechism also has an eye for the adversity which there can be in life. We even read that this life is qualified as a life of sorrow, a veil of tears. God the Heavenly Father can and does send adversity. Notice that word send. God the Heavenly Father can and does send adversity. There will be trials and afflictions which come from His heavenly hand. There is the discipline of love which comes from above. The result is that life, still marred by sin, is not always easy. But whatever adversity there may be, the Heavenly Father will turn it to my good. I shall benefit and profit even from the trials and chastisement which the Father considers necessary for me in His sovereign wisdom. The fact that we have a Heavenly Father who cares for us in perfect love does not mean that we will never experience sorrow. I think that it is especially meaningful in this Lord's Day about the loving Heavenly Father and His gracious care that attention is given to adversity. This will keep us from thinking that only prosperity comes from the Father above. For we shall under all circumstances now, in prosperity and adversity, cling to this one God, the Father Almighty. He keeps us with Himself. He never shoves us away. He continues to care for us and in all things, giving in grace, disciplining in love. Now we must more and more live as His children. Now we must see Him more and more as an almighty God and a faithful Father. He can do it, and He will. There is no doubt about it. Every day we must recognize our Heavenly Father in His perfect care for His children. For He has established a unique bond with us in Christ Jesus, a bond which He maintains by the power of the Spirit. He keeps us with Himself, declares Himself personally responsible for us in His covenant, and proves this day by day, year after year. Let us never underestimate His Father. Let us never go against His word. Indeed, let us stay with Him and trust in Him completely. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for adopting us as Your children through the gospel of grace. We pray that You will always guard us, so that we do not go back and begin seeking to earn our salvation by our works. We know that there is no sacrifice that is accepted in Your sight, except the sacrifice and atonement of Your Son on the cross. May we always glory in the cross and never put our confidence for salvation in our works. We thank You for our adoption. And enter this new year in full confidence that whatever may come upon us will be turned by You for our good. Let us depart to serve You as Your children. Amen. Now let us stand and worship God by singing hymn 300.